This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, 2012 was, to put it mildly, a terrible year for Michigan farmers. That heat wave last March, followed by April frost, basically wiped out most of the state's apple, cherry, and other fruit crops. And then came the summer with high temps and little rain. That hurt corn, soybean, and other important crops. So what might be ahead for Michigan farmers in 2013? Well, there are the weather worries, and there's a potential shortage of migrant workers. And since much of Michigan agriculture depends on seasonal or migrant workers to get those crops harvested, a shortage is not welcome news to Michigan farmers. Joining us is Craig Anderson. He manages the Agricultural Labor and Safety Services Program for the Michigan Farm Bureau, and he is also a longtime family farmer. Welcome, Craig.
Glad to be here.
And joining us from Bear Lake, where I think we all wish we were right now because that sounds really pretty, is David Smeltzer. David's the owner of West Wind Orchards. And thanks for joining us today, David.
Well, thank you. My father is also in partnership with us up here, too. My father, Clinton, who is 89 years old, is still, while not active on every day, is still an active participant in the activity here. So,
and that is certainly something that we're sensing is when we are talking about our Michigan farms, we are talking about family histories and a real sense of being rooted to your farm. I was getting that in speaking with Craig. I can certainly hear that with you too, David, and knowing that your 89-year-old father is still part of the operation. Craig, I want to start with you. If you could spell out for us to help us understand just how last year's bad weather and failed crops could result in a shortage of migrant labor this year.
The agricultural system across the country takes a look at the need for seasonal labor. And as that need has progressed, it starts in the South. Florida and Texas are actively growing right now. It'll move up through the Georgias and the Carolinas, through Arkansas and up through southern Illinois, and ultimately finish for most folks up here in Michigan. Our production season really starts with asparagus coming up here in about a month, and then it ends for the vast majority of the migratory laborers at the end of apple harvest, really hopefully mid-October to the end of October. One of the challenges is that for the worker to really have a significant income throughout the course of the year, they need to be working throughout the course of the year rather than just the 3 months that we have generally opportunities for them here in Michigan. So most of those workers did, in fact, find work in other areas. Now, that's the traditional model. Now we overlay a number of issues in regards to immigration, primarily in the southern states, again, that have passed state-based immigration laws.
Okay.
Now, in many cases, we have families that have been with us for a long period of time. In my home operation, we had families who started right after World War II and followed us through multiple generations, not only of our family, but also of the workers' family through the 70s. And my mom, who is 90, still converses with many of those. And so to be able to have the workforce when we need them, it's very difficult. In Michigan, we compete for the local worker, if you will, with the folks who would work at, for example, the Traverse City Cherry Festival. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens during the Cherry Festival? Hopefully we're harvesting cherries. And so for many people, would you rather work on a beach, for example, picking up the beer cans, or would you rather work on the farm for that same period of time? And so we have a difficult time in recruiting, in many cases, the local workforce that would fill, because that's when everyone is looking for a workforce.
Okay. So what happened with respect to hiring decisions that had to be made last year and cuts because of the bad crops, and how is that impacting whether people are going to be back in Michigan to work this year?
Well, for many in the fruit industry, we simply had no crop. We had a limited two, three areas that did harvest a portion of the crop. Now, the challenge is that many of the workers who do come to Michigan work in multiple crops. And so that also impacted those vegetable crops, for example, that were planted after the freeze. It hurt the packing structures as well. And so you had a cascade of a belief that we simply did not have any work here in Michigan. Well, we did. So we had shortages of workers even last year because of the knowledge that the core crop, the base crop, the apple production mm-hmm. was not going to have the need for the workers that we traditionally have.
So they aren't coming back this year, or Michigan's kind of off their list this year?
We don't know because our contact for many of them has really a 2011 flavor to it. And when we try and make the contacts, again, this is a workforce that moves. They're transient.
Mm.
And to be able to contact them, many of the cell phone numbers that we had are no longer the correct number.
Okay.
Many of the addresses that we have are no longer the correct address. So we're doing everything we can as an industry to contact those workers who we have had for many years to try and make sure if, in fact, they are coming back. But most operations with that core group also have peak need type of labor forces, and those generally were showing up at the door or going through the traditional market structure where one worker would tell another worker mm-hmm. who would tell another that there's a farm in Pierport mm-hmm. that there's a job at.
And let me ask you, David Smeltzer, from the perspective of your operation at West Wind Orchards, in a normal year, in a good year, let's skip everything that happened last year, you would normally use how many workers to do what?
18 to 20 people to harvest the apple crop.
All right. And so with everything that happened weather-wise last year, what happened?
Our labor force was 9. And we made that determination based on what we did. As Craig alluded to, there were pockets of fruit. Our operation here is 125 acres of apples. And of that 125 acres of apples, the fruit was probably concentrated on less than 30. Maybe even 25 at that point, where there was enough fruit to actually warrant going in the orchard to harvest. Based on that and some historical data, working with a couple of fellows that have been on the farm for years, we just went around and made a base guess. Let's pick a number. Let's say 10. No, I think 9. And we based that on fruit size and different things, movement of people, how we would operate through the orchards, the days that would take, factoring in rain, weekends, what we might do. And so in the time frame that it would take, because the crop was spotty. It wasn't, we had virtually no front-end fruit, which was McIntosh, Empires, and Galas. Primarily the fruit was later in the year, Red Delicious, Romes, Eider Reds. We did have an early ginger gold crop, but We function with what it would take to pick, how long it would take to pick, and get it picked properly as the fruit did mature.
So you had to make cuts. And what are you looking ahead to? What are your worries, if I may, looking ahead into 2013?
Well, the labor force is the critical component. Since the beginning of time, apples have been picked with hands, and hands are attached to people. And so it still requires that. There are some adaptations in the industry by using machines, but primarily they're just moving platforms that still require people to harvest the fruit. So we still need the labor. As Craig alluded to, there's always competition for the labor, and even the generational component of this is interesting because similar to what Craig was talking about. We've worked with a family of Hispanic labor since the early 70s. The young men, the family, are running the business now, and they are contract labor people. They came to my father in 1971, 72, and said, we can provide you with a labor force. Here it is 2013, and we're still working with the same group of people. And watching them grow up and watching the kids grow up and the evolution of the workforce moves itself into other things. For example, the crew leader's son, one of them is a professional photographer. One of his daughters is an attorney. And so the traditional, as it were, harvest force that would just migrate through the country, opportunities have prevailed to them where they can now do other things. And Javier, who used to pick apples here, is now a professional photographer in Florida. His brother runs a chain of Mexican food outlets down there. And like I said, one of the other daughters is now an attorney and is raising her family in Holland, Michigan. So there is this other things that draw the labor force away. Landscape industry is one of the big ones.
So they just
find other things to do. So we have to accommodate that by offering some other things to just keep people in the labor force.
What kinds of things can you offer? What are you trying to do to get your workers?
Primarily it's a 3-month, 2 to 3 month thing here through the summer. People come here, asparagus will start, we have strawberries, we move into cherries, but the driving force is apples, and it requires the largest number of people. So we offer a wage that will work when otherwise we don't. We usually pay by the box rate, and which provides them with their wage. But we also have our labor camp. It's a seasonally licensed camp. We have running water. We have shower facilities. There's toilets. There's laundry facilities there, providing an environment for them that is accommodating to them. It's friendly. They come every year. They know what to expect when they come to our farm. And so those things will, at least provide an incentive for them to want to come back.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we're talking about the possible shortage of seasonal labor workers to come onto Michigan farms and do crucial, crucial work, and looking ahead to what the year might bring. As I speak with David Smeltzer, who's the owner of West Wind Orchards in Bear Lake, and here in the studio we have Craig Anderson, who's with the Michigan Farm Bureau. And I'd like to get the thoughts of both of you on this question. As I'm hearing you describe, David, you have families of migrant workers who are really going in directions and setting down roots and building new lives. So that's going to thin the ranks, if it will. Where do you go for new labor? And I guess with that, I'm wondering, with unemployment so high in Michigan's big cities, is there any merit of looking for workers in, say, Flint or Detroit, people who do need jobs?
That question always comes up. There's a high unemployment rate. We'll just hire people who are currently unemployed, and they can do the work.
Right.
Keep in mind that, and I've advocated this, and I've said this in for years, that the migratory labor force, which is primarily Hispanic, the migratory labor force is as professional as what they do as plumbers and attorneys, and as professional as what they do. All right. Vegetables require a certain skill set. Field labor requires a certain skill set. Harvesting apples requires a certain skill set. There's a mindset that we get up and we go to work in the morning. It might be cold. It might be damp. It might be wet. These folks come to work. Now, granted, we don't work in a pouring down rain or thunderstorms, but we will go back to work when that stops, but we will work in a cold, maybe somewhat uncomfortable climate that these people, because they come, it's what they've done, it's traditional, and they move through this work because it's what they do. Now, I've often said that I could not feed my family harvesting apples. I simply cannot do it. But they have a skill set that they can do, and they can do this work. And so we turn to the Hispanic population for that because it's just part of the culture, if I can be so bold as to say that. And so in order to provide incentives, we do other things to get the people to stay with us, and we nurture that family component. I have second generation people that were kids when I used to sit there with my father and go to the labor camp and discuss what we're going to do, sitting across the table looking at those kids that now I do business with.
Hmm.
And this is there. And since 1971, this same family and group of families have been coming to our farm. So we're doing something that is providing that opportunity for them. So those are the things we have to focus on. But to simply suggest that folks who are temporarily unemployed will come and do the work, it doesn't translate just directly. And so we haven't had success doing that, so we stick with our Hispanic help.
And Craig, your thoughts?
Well, many operations do, in fact, try to attract the local workforce and have varying degrees of success or failure. One of the biggest challenges is we are seasonal. As David indicated, we work outside, and we work in the conditions that the outside provides. We're in and around. We're dirty in many cases. We're hot. We're sweaty. We have multiple layers of clothes for those who are out pruning apples right now. And that's one of the significant challenges. You have a system, or we have a system here, that provides for a benefits package that allows people who are unemployed to obtain a benefits mm-hmm. package. Mm-hmm. Now, when we come in, we're asking them to say, okay, we have 3 weeks' worth of asparagus harvest. Will you end your benefits package to come to work for us and then go back and reapply and continue on in your benefits package until you're needed again in sweet cherries?
Yeah.
And then again do that in apples, and then again do that in Christmas trees. Many farms have tried to adapt to that, and they have put on crops that they hopefully are breaking even with but are providing a longer term mm-hmm. of employment. But for our high hand labor need crops, it's just simply very difficult to have someone who is currently unemployed from a job that was 40 hours a week in a building to come out and work on the farm.
So with that said, where do you find new workers?
We are looking at nationally an adjustment in the immigration process. That's one of the challenges that we have faced for many, many decades. Is where that stepping stone agricultural job worker is going to come from. Early on, we looked at the family members, the farm family members. Many of those, we have expanded our farms, so that group of labor just simply isn't there and available. We've looked at the high schools. That, too, has become difficult because we're competing in many cases about those summer jobs mm-hmm. at the restaurants and the Dairy Queens, but also we're competing against the summer sports programs. So that causes a challenge there, too. We do have that skill set, and the schools have really moved away from training for jobs in areas such as agriculture and other technical areas because, again, this is technical. Yes, we have the hand labor, but we do have equipment operation mm-hmm. activities. And if you look at what we used to consider somewhat of a menial type of activity, even sorting fruit, for example. Mm-hmm. Now it requires tactile knowledge of the firmness or hardness of the fruit, the color activities that we look at, any type of stem puncture, any type of potential disease activities. So we need someone who knows a lot about the production of food. And that, too, is difficult with those that are unemployed at this point in time.
Craig Anderson manages the Agricultural Labor and Safety Services Program for the Michigan Farm Bureau, and David Smeltzer owns West Wind Orchards in Bear Lake. Thank you both so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.